to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Salam dear listeners, I'm Team Radio Psy's Bishu and welcome once again to Radio Psy Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Today we have a lovely bhajan which used to be sung in the yesteryears in Prashantanilayam. It's a lovely prayer to Bhagwan, asking him to fill us with love, fill us with devotion, fill us with that thing which can make our lives absolutely fulfilling, that joy which surpasses every other joy in the world. So the first line of the bhajan goes like this.
प्रेम भक्ति जगा मन में.
Probably some of you have heard this bhajan before. Anyway, we will learn it now. It has five lines and we'll start with getting familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga of the bhajan, the beat of the bhajan, and then we'll take every word of this bhajan and discuss its significance, what it means, and then we will listen to how this bhajan sounds in the Prashantinilayam Mandir when sung by the students of Bhagwan's university. So let's get started. Here are the lyrics.
Prema bhakti jagao man me. आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा, तुम हो दीन जनों के बाबा, तुम हो भक्त जनों के साई, आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा.
Now that we know the words of the bhajan, let's learn how to sing this bhajan. Brother Srinivasulu along with Brother Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale E pancham.
Prema bhakti jaga man me.
Prema bhakti jaga man me.
Prema bhakti jaga man me.
Prema bhakti जगाओ मन में,
आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा,
आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा,
आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा.
आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा आओ मेरे हृदय में बाबा प्रेम भक्ति जगाओ मन में
So that's the lovely tune of this beautiful bhajan. Brother Srinivaslu and Anirudh gave us a slow demonstration. Now let us learn more about the raga of the bhajan. So Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the make of this bhajan?
Sai Ram Vishu.
Sai Ram.
This beautiful bhajan is based on rag Yaman Kalyan in the classical music. As you hear the name Yaman, I think it's very popularly known as Kalyani in the Carnatic classical music. Or we call it Yaman in the Hindustani classical music. But this raga has a small addition of one more note to it. And many of our Sai bhajans have this, the feature, or having the Shuddhama being added into the raga.
Nerega Shudri, Shuddhani. Nerega Maga
Tivrama, Shuddhaga.
Madanidapa
Shuddha
Madani Sanidanidapa Mapagama
There's the Shuddhama being added while coming down.
Nere gare gapama pagama gare nida nere sa
Actually, there are many ragas which portray this adding of Shuddha Ma and then play around the sequence of the Ma in the Avarohana or Arohana, like Hamir Kalyan. Many ragas are there. Behag is one such raga where you have
Pa Ma Ma Ga Nizare Pa Ma Ma Ga
And we have different versions where we take notes from these ragas and use it in a different way. And in this bhajan, it has been very beautifully taken. And
Aao mere hriday mein baba aao mere
So that the ending of
Aao mere
So that O syllable has the note
Ga mare
The Shuddhama being brought into the composition and it has a very unique feeling to it because of the Shuddhama it gives actually it makes it different and unique if you analyze the composition as what all swaras are being taken and one more beautiful thing about this bhajan I like is the lyrics are very nice that you get connected with the lyrics actually first when I tried to sing this bhajan when I learned from Srinivasulu sir The very first thoughts were that the lyrics are so nice.
Yes.
And then, yeah, the tune also, you know, justifies the lyrics and you really get connected with the bhajan. Prema bhakti jagao maname, hao mere hriday mein baba.
So, many of the vintage bhajans that we have done till now are generally namavalis.
Yeah.
But this is a prayer, you know.
Yeah.
This is literally a prayer.
Correct.
So, it's really very easy to... feel and sing because you're already praying as you're singing.
Correct.
And it is also refreshing to see that we had bhajans which are in the language Hindi.
Yeah.
Not everything was Namavalis.
Correct.
This is a vintage bhajan. So I think Bhagwan in those days too allowed some of these bhajans, whichever composition perhaps helped devotees to connect.
Yeah. In fact, Bhagwan himself sang Prema Mudita Manase Kaho.
Yes.
Ram Ram
yeah,
Ram.
Yeah, correct. That's the Hindi.
So I feel Hindi is a blessed language where Bhagwan chose to sing the bhajans.
Yes.
And if you see the overall feel, that is finally it's all about you connect people
yes.
to Swami.
Yes.
So whether it's a Namavali or a bhajan which has lyrics,
yes.
both help in connecting more Yes. To Swami, that's all. Because if you see Namavalis, it has its own unique way of connecting people to God.
Yes.
It's like a dhun, or it may be just, we have done many vintage where,
yes,
bhajans where the lyrics are just,
Radha, 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 Krishna, Radha.
But this, the word Radha itself gives so much of connect and feelings to you.
Yes.
That, you know, ultimately you, you pray or you offer to him the bhajan. This is an example where the sahityam, the lyrics, helps you to get connected.
Yes.
Prema bhakti jagao man mein, like that. So when you just read
very
out only.
Very difficult to not have bhava and sing this bhajan.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
Because, you know, it's just embedded in the song.
Correct, correct.
Beautiful. I think Yaman is a very familiar raga, and there are many bhajans, right, in Yaman.
In Yaman, there are so many bhajans. But I would like to tell some bhajans on Yaman Kalyan as well.
Yes.
Need not be exactly Yaman Kalyan, just a feel of Yaman Kalyan where both the maas are being taken.
Yes.
Govinda Madhava Gopala Keshava Bhagavan Bhagavan Shatakoti Pranam.
All these are Yaman bhajans. And if you add the Shuddhma also, you have like
Shiva Shambho Shambho Shiva Shambho Mahadeva Anandamaya Bhagavan He Premamaya. Ramakrishna Govinda Narayana Keshava Radhika Ramana Maga.
And there are many bhajans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Many more.
Okay, so let's explore this bhajan.
Yeah. So let's take the first line and do the swaras for that line.
Prema Bhakti Jagao Man Me Saga Gamare Sada Sasa Dhani Saga.
The second time you have a variation.
Aao mere hriday mein baba Gamare Sada Sasa
two lines are the same lines as the second and the third line.
Beautiful. So let's
do the beat also?
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is 8-beat, Aditalam or Keherva in the classical music. Let's have the count and we'll just sing the bhajan with the help of tabla. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Prima bhakti jagao man me.
Prima bhakti jagao man me.
Aao mere hriday mein baba.
Aao mere hriday mein baba.
Lovely bhajan, lovely session. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So we are done with the technicalities of the bhajan. Let's now dive into the bhava aspect of the bhajan. What is this bhajan goading us to do? What is this bhajan inspiring us to do? Let's take the first line.
Prema bhakti jaga man me.
Prema, as we know, is love, selfless love, unconditional love, divine love, supreme love. Bhakti is devotion. When love becomes divine, when love becomes absolutely directed on selfless and unconditional pathways, then it becomes devotion. Love finds fulfillment only when it is directed towards the Lord, because He is the source of all love. That is what is bhakti. Jagao, to awaken. Man is mind. Me is in. This bhajan is in the language Hindi, unlike many bhajans which are in Sanskrit. So in this line, prema bhakti jagao man me, we are calling out to the Lord to awaken the noble qualities of love and devotion in our minds. One is reminded of the telling experience of Mrs. Phyllis Crystal, a veteran devotee in the Sai family. She experienced Bhagwan's love and protection in the worst of nightmares. It was 1974. She and her husband, Mr. Sidney Crystal, were returning to the USA from India after having Bhagwan's divine darshan. The plane they were traveling in had hijackers on board, and suddenly there was mayhem. The hijackers had strewn broken liquor and perfume bottles along the aisles of the plane to ensure that when they lighted the fire, the plane just burns everything into ashes. The hijackers had originally hoped to land in Athens, Greece. They were seeking the release of two of their compatriots who were imprisoned there for a similar earlier misadventure. And their ultimatum to the passengers hardly required any translation from Arabic to English. They were very clear, they just wanted to blow up the plane because their original plan was now thwarted. Mrs. Phyllis Crystal, remembering that moment, that dreaded moment, said, "One of the hijackers was smoking a cigarette which was hanging out of his mouth. My husband, being a lawyer, said, 'You know, he is going to blow the plane up any moment. If that cigarette drops on any of this ammunition, the whole plane will just catch fire.' And then he said to her, 'You know, we have had a good and long life together. You have to understand that you are not going to survive and that you will not see your daughters again.'" And the moment he said this, Mrs. Phyllis Crystal immediately said, "Don't be foolish. I am going to survive. We are going to survive." Somehow she had that courage. She didn't know from where that was coming from. She just remembered Bhagwan's room in Dharmakshetra in Mumbai. And instantly she visualized Bhagwan again, and she concentrated on that room, and she started to tell Bhagwan, "Swami, Swami, Swami, please, please, please help." And then she heard this voice. It was as if Bhagwan was speaking to her, and Swami was telling her, "Send love to them, send love to them." And Mrs. Phyllis Crystal felt that this was strange. She was saying, "Swami, have you looked at their faces? Have you seen that they want to actually kill us, and you are expecting me to send love to them?" But that voice was very clear, "Send love to them, send love to them." And she began doing that. And she was saying to herself, it's only Swami, only Sai Baba can see God even in the hijackers. And so she started visualizing Bhagwan in his room in Dharmakshetra. And she now kept focusing and spreading that love of Bhagwan, breathing in his love and just directing that love to the hijackers. And as she started doing that, slowly, powerfully, continuously, she saw that there was something happening with the hijackers. They were getting nervous. They were getting more and more restless. They were trembling. In fact, one of them dropped the gun that he was holding. The other man put out the cigarette. All that invisible love that Mrs. Crystal was transmitting had changed so much in the hijackers. The whole ambience changed dramatically. The hijackers, who were so determined to blow up the plane, somehow had a complete change in their resolve. In fact, Mrs. Phyllis Crystal, who herself was shocked at what had happened, says, "I was so astonished. I was doing just what I was told to do by Baba, but I never realized that it would really work this fantastically." And she says, "It was immediate. The man who was smoking started to tremble. He cut his wrist on one of the bottles and then he took a handkerchief and wound it around. And they really began to get extremely jittery. The hijackers were looking around wondering what was making them nervous. Where was it coming from? Why were they having this strange feeling? Why were they becoming powerless?" And Mrs. Phyllis Crystal says, "Thank God they didn't suspect me. Thank God they didn't know that I was doing all that. But it was just Swami who was doing." And after hours of undergoing that horrific ordeal, the plane was allowed to land at Amsterdam. All the passengers had to slide down the emergency exit for their dear lives, leaving behind all their belongings, including passports, shoes, jackets, everything. And within minutes, the hijackers set the plane ablaze after everyone had deplaned. And after that, they were arrested, and the law then took the due course. Later that same year, when Mrs. Phyllis Crystal and her husband were back in India to see Bhagwan, Bhagwan confirmed his direct intervention in the situation. In fact, as soon as Swami saw them, he went to them. And Mrs. Phyllis Crystal started thanking Bhagwan, but Swami just stopped her and said, "I heard you. I heard your cry." In fact, Bhagwan mimicked her voice in a very English accent, which came out very strongly whenever she was angry or excited or frightened. And all of them laughed so much because the way Bhagwan was mimicking that English accent was so hilarious. And in the short interview that Bhagwan gave them, Swami explained what had happened in the plane. And Mrs. Phyllis Crystal says, "From what I understood, the most important thing Bhagwan said was that the entire plane loaded with people was saved because the plane was filled with his love. That is the power of pure love. If we can cultivate this kind of love, we can overwhelm anything negative in this world. And if we can do that, how beautiful our lives would become." Bhajans will help us in this endeavor. Through bhajan, we can ask Bhagwan to fill us with this kind of love. "O Lord, make me the love that you want me to be." That is what we are praying in this line. Prema bhakti jagao man me. Let's move on to the next line.
Aao mere hriday me Baba, aao mere hriday me Baba.
Aao, come, mere my. Hriday is heart, me is into. Baba literally means father, and in this bhajan we are referring to Bhagwan, our father, our God, our everything. The Lord is always residing in everyone's heart and there is no doubt about it. But only if you are tuned to Him, we can feel His presence palpably. But then in this line, why do we sing, "Aao mere hriday mein"? Why are we saying, "O Lord, come into my heart"? If He is already there, well, we are just praying to Him to bestow on us the grace to make our heart clean and spotlessly pure so that it reflects Him in all His glory, so that we can begin to perceive His presence in our heart at all times. Dr. Hislop and his wife first heard of Bhagwan in 1968 through a description of Him as given to them by a lady who had visited Prashanthinilayam. Dr. Hislop was among the earliest devotees to come to Bhagwan from the Western Hemisphere. And so this lady had brought back some sacred vibhuti and a beautiful ring which Bhagwan had gifted her. And she told the many fascinating stories about what she had seen in Bhagwan's presence in Prashant and Nilayam. But one special remark she made struck fire to Dr. Hislop's mind and imagination. The lady said, "When I was at Prashant and Nilayam, I felt a change in my character. And that change persisted even after I returned home." Now this statement really captured Dr. Hislop's mind with the impact of a great storm. He thought to himself, could there be a man? Was there a man living today whose art was so subtle, so powerful, so mysterious, so divine that he could change the human heart? If it were indeed true that such a man lived in today's world, then nothing else in my life could equal the urgency of seeking him out, prostrating myself at his feet and praying that through his grace, he would be so kind as to cultivate my dry heart with his divine power so that my heart might open into fresh life as the dry fields become alive and vibrant with the spring rain. This is what Dr. Hislop wanted. And so, as soon as he heard the story of Bhagwan on a Monday, that same week, they were aboard a plane to India. Dr. Hislop says that his faith was not able to keep up with the eager rush of his heart towards the Lord. As he said later, "After all, my mind was educated in the cold scientific methodology of a Western university and then cultured in the profit climate of the business world. Moreover, I had disappointing experiences with various spiritual preceptors. However, my intellectual doubts, which had gained considerable strength during the journey, were unable to survive even the first meeting with Swamiji in his divine presence. How could doubt maintain itself? In his presence, doubt is like very shallow water in the burning sun. In no time, all the doubts just disappear." And as Dr. Hislop and his wife sat before Bhagwan in Prashant Nilayam in the interview room, they soon realized that the elegant and charming Indian guru who was speaking to them was unmistakably something far, far more than that. As Dr. Hislop says, "We listened to his sweet voice, we felt the warmth of his loving smile, we noted the impression of his irresistible power conveyed by the cast of his features, and we looked as deeply as we dared into his eyes, which were soft, which were flashing. And beneath these surface impressions, our awareness was deepening. We became conscious that a state of love and affection now existed in the room. And this love and affection inspired a movement, a new feeling, a joy so intense in my heart that tears just started streaming down my eyes. So to me, first of all, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba is the Lord of the heart. He who is able so quickly to remove all the hardness accumulated in the years and make the heart fresh again, make the heart new and joyful again. This is what the Lord does to each one of us, isn't it? When we sincerely pray to Him to make us aware of His presence in our lives. In this line, we pray to Him to come into our hearts again, to make our hearts alive, to lighten it, to brighten it, and to be established in there. Let us be established in that purity, in that sublimity, so that we can feel His presence every second of our lives. And that is what we are praying for in this line as we sing, "Aao mere hriday mein Baba." Let's move on to the next line.
Tum ho deen janon ke baba.
Deen jano refers to the forlorn, the weak, the distressed. Tum ho means you. So in this line we are saying, O Lord, you are the one who is there for those who have no one. When the super speciality hospital was built way back in the early 90s, some of the civil engineers suggested to Swami that to save cost, we can have normal flooring inside the hospital, the outside facade of the hospital can be grand, but anyway, it is the poor and the needy who will be stepping inside the hospital, because it is going to be a free hospital. So why don't we have just normal flooring and not the expensive granite stones? When they asked Bhagwan for his permission to make this change, Bhagwan said, I want every person who steps into this hospital to feel that he's stepping into a palace, especially the poor, the neglected. They should feel that they are welcomed here as very, very important persons. They are like my family. As Bhagwan says, there is no one who is anath. There is no one who does not have someone to go to, because he is there for everyone. That is what is conveyed in this line, Tumaho Dina Janon Ke Baba. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Tumaho Bhakta Janon Ke Sai.
Bhakta Jano is devotees. Here we are saying, O Lord, you are the one who is there for every devotee. There's a very beautiful incident recorded in the book Anyatha Shanam Nasti, written by Mrs. Vijay Kumari, who is a member of the famous Kupam family, who came to Bhagwan way back in the 40s. Bhagwan once decided to go on a tour of South India during October 1947, and he visited the members of the Kupam family, and he invited the members of the Kupam family to travel along with him. Wherever Bhagwan went, there were huge crowds of devotees, numbering in thousands, who were waiting for long hours, braving the blazing sun, just because they were thirsting for a glimpse of him, a smile from him, a word from him. And Bhagwan too did not disappoint the God-crazy devotees. He visited the houses of so many devotees, and all these devotees made all possible arrangements for the crowds to have darshan of Bhagwan with as much inconvenience as it was possible. One night at 12 o'clock, everyone, including the Kupam family members, heard the sound of melodious bhajans coming from downstairs. And the owner of the house where Bhagwan was staying saw that there were people singing bhajans and they were waiting for Bhagwan. He went to them and he requested them with folded hands, "See, Swami has already retired to his room to rest. He's tired. Please come in the morning." But these devotees said, "But we have come from very long distance after going through so many hardships. We just want to see Swami. We cannot leave without seeing him. Please have mercy on us." And the host did not know what to do. He didn't want to disturb Swami. It was middle of the night. But these devotees also were so eager to have Bhagwan's darshan. He didn't know what he was supposed to do. And immediately he heard the silken golden voice of Bhagwan. It was like music from a flute. Swami had appeared on the balcony of that house, and all the devotees, when they saw Swami, they were thrilled. Smiles bloomed on their faces, and in joy, in a frenzy of devotion, they started shouting and they started doing Jai Jai Kar, Har Har Mahadev, Jai Bolo Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba Ki Jai. And they started singing bhajans now with added vigor. And when they were in that joy of singing, the Kupam family members could see tears trickling down their eyes in that ecstasy of devotion. There was the cool breeze. It was the silent night. There was moonlight. But everyone was so immersed in that joy. And look at the devotees' love for Bhagwan. They said, "Swami, how long will you stand? Please be seated, Swami." But Swami said, "No. What is my discomfort before what you had to suffer? You are all my children, and I know you are all very tired. The joy of children is the primary consideration for any mother. When you yourself are standing, how does it matter if I also stand? Please continue your bhajans. Please be in your joy." And Mrs. Vijay Kumari writes, "This uninterrupted flow of love between mother and children went on for an hour and a half. It was like dancing waves of yearning, approval and joy streaming from a heart as soft as butter." She says, "Our hearts were squeezed with devotion. We danced in that sea of joy. And we thought, do these people not need rest? How can they continuously be so much in joy for hours together? Are they human beings or are they angels?" is it a dream? Is it illusion? They were so touched with the jam-packed love of these devotees. And she says, whenever I think about this, I feel this is what is true attachment. The attachment of hearts. The attachment of the soul so that it gets detached to everything material of this world. And this attachment is what is our true fortune. Bhagwan continued to stand on the balcony and he heartily blessed them. After a while, he brought clothes from inside and personally gifted to all of them. And after he had blessed them profusely, as Bhagwan came inside, he was all the time saying, "See how beautifully they were singing. Did you look at those devotees? Look at their love. For the sake of love, the Lord will go to any extent. Because as Bhagwan says, I am a devotee of my devotees. Bhakta jano ke sai. He is the only one there for every devotee. And every devotee can feel that Bhagwan is there only for me. And that is the truth. That is what is conveyed in this line. Tumaho bhakta jano ke sai. Let's move on to the next line. This is a repeat of the previous line where we are inviting Bhagwan into our hearts.
Aao mere hridaye mein.
Where we are praying that we can feel him in our hearts incessantly. We can feel his love in every cell of our being. So that is some explanation about what this bhajan conveys. Every devotee can ruminate on it and you will find very, very meaningful, beautiful ways to connect to the Lord through every line of this bhajan. Please do this exercise. Please meditate on this bhajan and this bhajan will definitely elevate you. It will fill you with the most powerful emotion of this world, love. So dear listeners, as we immerse ourselves in the beauty and the sublimity of the prayer that is this bhajan, let's sing this bhajan once again as it is sung in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir by the students of Bhagwan's University. brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet for most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan.